Hi, this is Eric Castle with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's Bearing Precious Seed podcast. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in part four of the resurrection module. Now, before we get into this today, I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 16. And Paul is saying, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, we're in the resurrection module, but right after this, we're going to go into the prayer module. Because I believe once you begin to get the revelation that Jesus is alive, you have to move into prayer. Paul was a man of prayer. He is praying for the church. We're getting a revelation of what Paul prayed. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You and I, as we listen to this, as we study resurrection, we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things underneath his feet. Now, when we look at this, the prayer life of Paul, he had such revelation of how to minister to the church in prayer. And there were three things that he earnestly desired, three key things that he knew the church had to have. In verse 19, we're going to focus on one, and that is resurrection power. He says, I want the eyes of your heart opened, that you would know the exceeding greatness. Now, exceeding greatness is simply this. Great is the word mega. Exceeding means beyond the boundaries of mega. So however you define the word mega, it's beyond those boundaries. Okay? There are no boundaries to this power. It is a power that was energizing. It was coming from the inherent strength in God, who was the creator of heaven and earth. And this power was manifesting. And as it was manifesting, it was energizing into Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is the power and the glory that it is ours. It is in us. And there's going to come a day where we're going to be raptured out of here and we're going to receive a new body. That's huge resurrection. And you and I, we have not received yet the resurrection of our physical bodies, a new body, but it's coming. But until then, we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, and we pray and say, God, I want to live in this realm of this resurrection power of God. Remember Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, I want to know the Lord, and I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I really believe the key to Paul's ministry was definitely prayer, but it's more than prayer. It was what was in his praying, the revelation that was in his praying. And that's why we're looking at resurrection. I really don't believe that we can continue into the book of Acts without having a foundation in resurrection power, in resurrection declaration, in resurrection revelation. I believe this is what changes the local church, and in it, the local church becomes salt and light to the lost within her boundaries. Okay? So now let's pick up today number 23. Wow. The message of resurrection was the root of Paul's persecution by the religious Jews, Acts 24:21. except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, this is Paul talking, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day. So Paul is giving his defense, and he says it immediately. He says it's because of my message of resurrection that I am here having to give what? Testimony to you. Or I'm in trouble. This message carries the power of God that overthrows the idols in the hearts of men, and it ultimately lays waste the kingdoms of this world. The devil still feels the bruising he received when Jesus was raised from the dead, and this message of resurrection continues to remind Satan of his crushing defeat that he received on that first Easter morning. Whoa! Don't you love it? It makes you inspired to preach resurrection even more just for that. Let's go to number 24. Festus declares to Agrippa that it is Paul's message of resurrection that brought his troubles on him. I tell you, we need to slow down. And I said this at the beginning. You have to look at every facet, how resurrection is preached, how it is taught, how it is declared, and how it's demonstrated. And so as we get towards the end of Acts, Paul is having to stand in front of leaders, and it all boils to one point. It's because of his message of resurrection. Acts 25, verse 19, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus who was dead, and they all knew Jesus died. That wasn't a fact that was going to be disputed. That whole region knew that Jesus died. But listen, of whom Paul affirms to be alive. Festus knew the details of Jesus' crucifixion under Pontius Pilate. The message of Jesus' death was not the issue concerning Paul's confinement, but rather Jesus' resurrection. This intrigued King Agrippa to desire to hear Paul personally. Now remember, it wasn't so long ago when Paul was in Athens, when he began to preach resurrection, they said, you need to come over to the Areopagus and we want to hear more about resurrection. This message changes the world, and it's able to reach the high and the low, the strong and the weak. It doesn't matter where you are on society's chain. The message of resurrection speaks to the hearts of all men. Let's go to number 25, Paul preaching to Agrippa, Acts 26, verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Paul knew that Agrippa had been educated in the Jewish religion. Therefore, Paul began to build the case of resurrection before the king using the Jewish law and the prophets, of which Agrippa had respect. I tell you, when you look at this, you just realize Paul was such a master builder. He knew how to use the Word of God, and he wasn't like, oh, that's the Old Testament. Oh, that doesn't count anymore. No, the early church was built on the Old Testament. It just was under the revelation through the lens of Christ and his resurrection. Let's move over to number 26, Paul preaching to Agrippa and Festus, Acts 26, verse 23. The Bible says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now, this kind of brings everything together. In the beginning, Peter, under a word of wisdom, was declaring things like unto you first as he was preaching to the Jews. He had no understanding that God's plan was for the Gentiles too. He was just so moved by the Holy Ghost moving into that realm of revelation, and he's declaring the resurrection. Very powerful. But here at the end of Acts, we have Paul's last preaching in the book of Acts concerning resurrection. So it's his last declaration. So we need to pay attention to it. So he begins that Christ should suffer. For what? For our sins. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. And now what is he saying here? Well, he's saying that we're going to rise from the dead as well. We're going to get new bodies as well. And that this message is going to show light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. So here we have Paul. He's a prisoner of Rome. He's declaring to the governor, who is Festus, and to King Agrippa, that Christ's resurrection gives light unto all men, even to the Gentiles. Once again, we see Paul, who is a witness to both small and great, standing in the strength of God, preaching resurrection. And as he preached his sermon, the message of resurrection divided the crowd. Festus rejects, but Agrippa is moved. And as we get here towards the end of Acts, in Acts 28, Acts 28 ends with a word of God's wisdom that comes upon Paul. He's in Rome. And he's going to become a seed planted in Rome. By this time, Jerusalem was getting ready to be destroyed. In AD 70, Rome levels Jerusalem. The church, the power base of Christianity, which was in Jerusalem, is now scattered to the four winds. Now there's a new power base. It's Rome. Not just Rome, it's Europe. And it flows in line with Noah. Noah had a prophetic word. It wasn't a Christian word. It was just revelation concerning how the nations and the tribes and the nations of men would develop. But here's the deal. He says concerning to the sons of Japheth. Now those are Europeans. He says, God, you're going to be increased. And in fact, you're going to spread all over the earth and you're going to dwell in the tents of Shem, meaning all of your brothers, Shem and Ham, they're all going to be affected by this increase that comes upon the sons of Japheth. Okay? It's not a Christian word. Well, God knew that. So if the European families, if something's going to happen where they're going to rise up and end up touching the four corners of the earth, whether good or for bad, well, if I was God, I would want to get the gospel planted into those people so that they would, what? Carry the message. And they did. So what message did they carry? They carried resurrection. They carried Jesus Christ alive, who died for our sins. He is alive. He was raised from the dead. And it began to change Europe. And from Europe, missionaries went all over the world. They went all the way. A new nation was planted called the United States. And the gospel that was planted into the United States began to flow out. And that message of resurrection began to extend all over the world. And I think about this. We're in the year 2022. But in the last 100 years, maybe 150 years, if you want to look at it that way, the movement of Christianity through the development of boats, trains, and then airplanes. And then not only airplanes, we had the World Wide Web, where today people can be in one nation and they can have a meeting with people all over the world. I myself do that. And it is amazing. Why? Why do we do this? It's for one message. Jesus Christ is alive. He was raised from the dead. And so Paul ends the book of Acts with a word of wisdom. And he says concerning the Gentiles, he said, they're going to receive it. They're going to hear it, meaning they're going to want to hear this and they're going to change their nations. And that's exactly what happened through this message of resurrection power and glory. And so that's going to conclude this module on resurrection. And we have four parts. And so you want to get in there, you want to get the notes, and you want to study it. Now let me just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for resurrection. I want to thank you going all the way back when we laid the foundation with Abraham, a man of faith, a man who believed in resurrection power, a man who believed and stood before God, a God who raises the dead and calls those things that be not as though they are. And Father, I want to thank you that that resurrection power is right now ministering to us. Holy Spirit, you were there when Christ was raised from the dead. In fact, you did it. And now you're on the inside of us. I'm asking that there would be such a breakthrough of resurrection power and understanding in us. And Lord, that that resurrection would touch our families, touch our neighbors, touch our cities, touch our nations. Father, we ask for it in Jesus' name. We thank you. Amen. Now that's enough for today. Now listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you and Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. God bless you. Bye-bye.